Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome everybody to the show, it's Real Talk. Panel full of open minds, giving you real thoughts. You always gonna get the realest. Beyond the title to opinions, don't get in your feelings. To further assess, breaking it down, we bring on an expert. Scroll through our history, here's some of our experts. May of 2013, marks the beginning. Passion and dedication, that was the engine. Shouts to Grip for producing the track. Pissing the recipe, and he came up with crack. Back to this Real Talk, you should really check us out. Providing voices for the people, this is what we about. Bringing skilled and talented guests on from different places. Holla welcome, different views, different races. Hit the top, it's intriguing, we on it. It's Real Talk Radio, the best ones doing it. On top instead of pick people's interest. Going deep, got people's faces frowning like incest. Can't rock out with us, you got a thin chest. We make our name hold weight, that's the bench press. If you're an up and comer, this is where to be. You're gonna get a good look, that's a guarantee. That is what we desire on. So if you think you're seriously funny, then you can ride along. Been podcasting for years with some veterans. It's one of those days we could be a medicine. Listen, got choices, it's all on them. Either check the store online or you can call on them. Doesn't matter your political views, you can call it how you see it. Say whatever you choose, there's no censor. It's all good when you rock with us. When they hear Real Talk, come chop it up. Conspiracy theories, Barbies, superstorms, online dating, that's the top that's really yours. Why men cheat? Why women better at it? Why you black gotta witness so many foolish tragedies? Why you 30 still making twerk videos? Why narcissists victimize and want pity though? These are things that we all wanna know. Why you at the right place, cause we attracted on the show. Models, actors, authors, rappers, singers, producers, atheists, pastors, shouts to supporters, helping us grow faster. It's all love, we embrace fellow podcasters. Sports, dating, family, politics. Other shows so they dig us but won't acknowledge it. Acknowledge if it. We come together, we can make a union. It's Real Talk Radio. Tune in, tune in, tune in, tune in, tune in.
Tonight on It's Real Talk Radio, we will be joined by special guest Suzette from Suzette Live Talk, and we will be handing Suzette the keys to the driver's seat to play lead on this discussion, as it is part two of a five-part series titled Correlation is Not Causation, which already aired on her platform, Suzette Live Talk. Part one aired earlier today on Suzette's platform, and you can catch it by logging on to speaker.com/show/Suzette Live. Well, speaker.com/show/Suzette-Live-Talk. And that link is also where you can catch all the rest of the parts of the series, along with all of the rest of Suzette's shows. We feel like it's important to share this information to help educate skeptics and the rest of the public on some things that they may not have, or some things they may not have received a memo on. Censorship and propaganda is a real thing that's increasingly raining down on our lives, and you can look at social media to realize how much we're being censored, and you can look at politics and media to see how much propaganda is being placed on us. The masses are too distracted and brainwashed to realize what's happening right in front of their faces. So it takes platforms like ours and like-minded people like us and all of you listeners to shed light on these agendas. Suzette is the driving force behind this discussion, so she can articulate it best. But we are looking forward to accompanying our comrade while she drops gems on the listeners tonight. Oh, yeah. We're going to get to the nitty-gritty for sure. Make sure you check out part one, titled The When and Full Beginnings of Censorship and Propaganda on Suzette Live Talk, so you'll be brought up to speed with the continuation we're having on here. So, I know what time it is, man. It's time to get real. Call the number 563-999-3434. The email is itsrealtalkradio@gmail.com. Well, that's it. I'm T. Real, and I got my boy, my day one, Bobby G, with me. What's good, Bobby?
Hey, what's going on, everyone? How's everybody doing? Hey, Suzette, everybody out there. This is Real Talk Radio.
Yes, sir, and we're bringing Suzette in now, and we're going to hand Suzette the keys to the Lambo. You ready to drive the Lambo, Suzette?
Ready. Thank you for having me on the show this evening. And,
oh, yeah, our
hey.
Pleasure. We appreciate you having us on your show just earlier, too.
It was great having you on the show, and my husband wanted me to make a mention for him special that he really enjoyed listening to it, and he thought that that you guys brought a lot to the show because usually I do the show by myself, so I thought that was pretty neat for him to say.
Yeah,
so
thank you. Thank you. We appreciate that.
I will pass it along when he gets back. Okay, so I'm going to start off with a quote from C.S. Lewis, and it makes a lot of sense. And if you are feeling on edge, or if you're feeling something's going on but you can't put a finger on it, if you're realizing that liberties are being slowly eroded by the day, whether it be information limiting or restrictions, basically, or stuff that you are trying to post and is legitimate, been credible, valid, is from a government agency and can't figure out what it is that you did wrong, well, it's called tyranny. C.S. Lewis says, of all tyrannies, a tyranny sincerely exercised for the good of its victims may be the most oppressive. We're constantly hearing, it's for our own good, it's for our security, it's for our protection, it's for our health. It would be better to live under robber barons than under omnipotent moral busybodies. The robber baron's cruelty may sometimes sleep. His cupidity may at some point be satiated. But who torment us for our own good will torment us without end, for they do so without the approval of their own conscience, which means they have no problem sleeping at night. If, even though somebody else's tummy might be empty, a child, a family, a grandparent on the streets sleeping, but these people don't care. They have their parties, they go to bed, they do their thing, whatever they do during the day, except for when they're making oppressive laws for the rest of us. So, you know, we hear wake up, get woke. I'm saying forget about the wake and the woke. Open your eyes. The information's there. If you're hungry, look for it. And that's what my show tonight offers, and this show tonight on It's Real Talk Radio with Tay and Bobby. They're making an honest effort to get information out there. Some say it's too late to fight off this tyranny. I say, if we have to fight to the last, then we do. It's worth saving the country for. You can hate your government, but you got to love the country. It gives you, or gave you, the ability to do it what you wanted with your life and not have it inhibited. And you know, our rights come from God. Everybody has that right, no matter where you live in the world. But you have dictators and leaders that say no. And that's when Americans said, we don't want to live that way anymore. We're going to start our own country. And so we did. And then we have evil people that come in, like Edward Bernays and presidents that come in that want to control everything to the last breath, you know, from cradle to grave is what they say. So information that is vital to us that's being censored, like in the state Senate, doctors giving testimony about alternative cures or treatments that can help besides the vaccine, or at that time we didn't have a vaccine. And you have tech giants, corporations basically saying, no, you can't share that information. We don't think it's valid. Well, who are they? They're not doctors. Who are they getting their orders from? Who is at the top? Well, that's what you're going to find out about tonight. They're called the Committee of 300. And this Committee of 300 has been around and was revealed to be Tavistock. Tavistock Institute was basically a mental institute in Europe. And the Committee of 300 rose out of that. They are 300 people who basically have money and run the world. The thing is with the Committee of 300 is that you have other organizations that were a part of that, still a part of that, but are seeing that they're not getting their just due. And so we're seeing a war now between the United Nations, the Committee of 300. That also involves the part of Israel or Israel, because what people don't know is when we talk about Israel, there are two different types of Jews. There are the Jews that are the Hasidic Jews. They have those sideburns and stuff like that. They're real Jewish people. The other ones are Zionist, and they are Christian Jews, if you will. Real Jews don't believe that Christ died basically to come back for redemption. And that is a conflict there because the Zionists want the control. The other ones, that's why there's a problem over there. They don't get along. So I have a map here. I'm going to try and bring it up. So we have at the top, of course, we all know or heard the Illuminati, Order of Illuminati. Then we have the House of Rothschild. So if you picture in your mind, I'm going to draw a rectangle box. Now to the right, I'm going to draw a line out, make a circle, and write in there House of Rothschild. To the left, draw a line out, draw a circle, and write conspiring to rule the world. And in that group, they have their helpers. Oops, let me make this bigger. Now, the order consists of, you've heard these names, the Bilderbergers. So that will go in the middle. To the left, House of Rockefeller. Connection to that, go down, make it a rectangle, Council on Foreign Relations. Then you're going to go to the right, underneath the House of Rothschilds, directly, a triangle with, it's called the Group, which is a Rhodes-Milner Roundtable Group. And they consist of Club of Rome, the Fabian Society, the New School of Social Engineering. And so there's a bunch of these other names. And so now back to, what is it? Oh, the middle. We have the United Nations. And the United Nations branches out to Central Committee of the, what is it, Communist Party of the Soviet Union. And most people are saying, what? What are you talking about? Well, all these groups, Council on Foreign Relations, the World Peace Council, the Tavistock Institution, the Trilateral Commission, the Bohemian Club. I mean, I'm sure all these names are coming, the Atlantic Council. And so at one point, I was thinking, how are all of these things tied together? I mean, they're all claiming to rule the world. Who is the Illuminati? Who are they? Who are censoring our speech? Who is taking away our liberties little by little under, you know, basically engineered consent? And so we don't notice it being eroded, our liberties, as far as being gone. We just okay and agree to it because they give us something else in return. So we have people basically, we're against each other. and that's the way they want it. In countries like Africa, where everybody is black for the most part, it isn't considered a race thing. They used economic status in order to divide those people. In other countries that have different, like here in America, they use race because economic status isn't as big a divider as race is. And so what we're seeing right now with the defunded police, with the people that can't go back to work without a vaccine, the schools themselves, we're seeing a takeover of the government right underneath our noses when people are getting upset as far as why are they going to lose their jobs or how come I'm going to lose my job? This is my choice. You know, where do I turn to? Nobody's helping me out. Who do I turn to? And those people end up getting censored off of Twitter and Facebook and YouTube because people, they don't want people to know what's going on. That ordinary Americans like you and myself are hurting and we're reaching out for answers. We're posting it on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, whatever, TikTok. They'll shut you down because they don't want the truth to get out there as far as how you're being affected. They have to control the information. Now, before they would control the information through analytics, psychological analytics, psychoanalysis, that type of thing. But now we have technology. So you're being tracked through your phone. You have these apps that check your health and so forth. I hope to God that you don't opt into those, but if you do, well, the more information that they have on you, the more they'll be able to control you. And I say that because with all the people in just the United States, the data banks for that in Utah are huge, and they're not even full yet. But when you have people contributing their information, signing up for apps left and right, now you're opting in for the phone to monitor your health. It'll know your heart arrhythmias and if you're sick or not. And that information is vital to them in order to control you. Yes, they could do a mass destruction of humanity off the face of the earth, but they need some of us. And in order to be able to find out who's going to get to stay and who's going to go, and we're talking up to the pearly gates here, not to someplace else on earth, they need to have that information. They need to know who's going to be useful. And when you have filters, which people know filters in your computer basically separates everybody into categories. So if you have a filter that is for ages 45 to 50, females, males, whatever, with a medical history that is, you know, 89 to 90% good, it'll bring up all the people in the United States or even the world, depending on how much information that they have. I wouldn't put it past them, but I don't think it's that huge yet. But nevertheless, so those people will go in one category, one row, and then they'll pick, you know, put in another filter. So that's how they'll do it. It's not that hard. We do it every day on our computers when we search for stuff. We have guide words. And so it's important to see the patterns. Earlier on my show, Bobby and Tay, we had a conversation, you could tune in over there, about the patterns. And when you have even some information about what's happening, even if it's a little bit, that's all you need to start seeing patterns, to seeing what they're doing. And it's not a conspiracy, because these things have happened or are happening. So we have the new brain science specialization, neurotics, remote control of human thinking, neural weapons, personality simulations. It's crazy. Politicians can't control this. This has to do with our military and our military defense, and the money that they've been given and the research capabilities is unfathomable, their capabilities. I mean, fast advances in brain science supported by government fundings of billions of dollars, plus they're getting more every budget. Euros resulted since the beginning of the 21st century in the birth of, well, the new branch of science, neurotics. They have a whole branch dedicated to that. And DARPA itself It's just the agency for which all this stuff and research goes through, but they don't actually do anything at DARPA that has anything to do with directly affecting neurotransmitters or whatever. So I just wanted to make that clear because people think, yeah, DARPA's doing this or they're doing that. And it's like, well, they're like the hub. They coordinate all these scientists and institutions that do it. So Dr. Sarah Lindsey-Bee from the National Institute of Mental Health in Maryland can produce movements in different parts of the human body, which the subjects of her experimentation cannot suppress. So we know that by touching different parts of the brain that it will make something react on your body. But this is different. This is done through a simulation of their brain. So it's not even actually touching their brain. But because the brain waves can be signaled to a machine when you get your MRIs or that type of thing, it goes into the machine. They save that data. So basically they have your brain signals there. So they don't even need to open up your brain to do that anymore, which is really scary, which is why people suffer from targeted, they become TIs, which is targeted individuals. Some people are tormented by the signals coming from transmitters, HARP, and other technology, hearing things, hearing maybe somebody talking to them. I'm sure you've seen somebody driving on the road or saw it on the news, and all of a sudden they just pull the wheel to the right or to the left, and they just do something freaky they would never do. And it's like, what the hell did that person just do? Holy cow. Or, you know, in this case, shoot somebody, or something that's just really bizarre that is so off the wall, but there's signals that can be transmitted. And then you think, okay, why did they pick that person out of all these millions of people? How come that person? Well, it's just whoever is receiving that frequency, because we operate on frequencies. Our bodies operate on frequencies. And so when we see mass riots going on, it just takes one little trigger for one person to set it off. And then if they send out those frequencies, then they'll keep it going to enrage people. And they don't even know why they're enraged. They can't help it. Thank goodness we have medical people, medical personnel in our health field. And I don't know what to say to them as far as they're losing their jobs over the vaccine. They say, the government says, follow the science, follow the science. Well, I'm telling you right now, there's more science in what they are telling or offering as far as information to the public. There's doctors, there's medical researchers, there's virologists, there's other people besides Fauci and his team that have researched this, the alternative medicines that can be used, and they've been using them, but they don't want the public to know that. They want the public to think that people are just dropping like flies. So that information is something that you need to check out yourself. Get yourself an attorney if you're going to be fired because you don't want to take the vaccine. My advice would be to gather your coworkers and to get one attorney as a class action suit against the government. I think you would fare a whole lot better than trying to go on your own, not to mention the expenses, but mostly because there's more power in numbers. So that would be my advice to you. And that's pretty much it, unless anybody has any questions.
That was awesome.
I'm over here like a student. Like I'm like a student in college, so yes. I'm just sitting here listening.
Yeah, but you know all of this, you know, this basically has this is all part of, you know, the history of censorship in America. You know, basically America prides itself in valuing the freedom of speech, but the country has a long history of losing fights to protect and uphold that right as guaranteed under the First Amendment of the Constitution. You know, starting with the founding fathers in the 18th century, free speech was put to the test when President John Adams restricted the right to criticize a government official.
Yes.
You know, Stacker has compiled a look at key moments and milestones in the history of censorship in America, consulting academic papers, historical accounts, legal cases, industry records, and news reports. Many attempts at limiting free speech in the United States have come during times of war. Criticism was sharply curtailed during World War I when vocal opponents to U.S. policy were jailed and deported. Not long before that, newspaper editors and reporters were arrested in the North for opposing the Civil War, and reports from the front were heavily censored. In World War II, newspapers were complicit in protecting U.S. interests and suppressing public information. But it has been sexual relations that has sparked the most passionate arguments over the limits of free speech, whether it was in explicit novels, graphic pornography, classic Greek plays, Shakespeare, poetry, or just the culture's puritanical tendencies. Movies and comic books have adopted systems to censor themselves as means of averting full-fledged censorship by authorities. Comic book stories were accused of sending risque messages to children, and even the cartoon character Betty Boop started wearing longer skirts to avoid criticism. Still today, schools across the country grapple with keeping books on their library shelves in the classroom curriculum over seemingly incessant objections that they are profanity ridden or obscene and inappropriate throughout the years. The U.S. Supreme Court has drawn the lines around just what merits protection as free speech, lines that have shifted considerably over the years. You know, so it's just been, you know, over time you can just see the censorship, especially nowadays. You can see the censorship, you can see everything, you know, Tay was talking about earlier in the first part of the show about, you know, this whole thing, the censorship, and, you know, he was talking about a lot earlier. I forgot exactly what he was saying. I can't think of it at the moment. But, you know, he was talking about this earlier. It was something I was trying to remember that he said earlier. It's going to come back
on Suzette's show?
Yeah, on Suzette's show. Yeah, you was saying something. I was trying to remember something you said. But, you know, anyway, you know, it's just basically, it's just getting crazy out here. It's just getting crazy. The censorship, you know. Oh, you was talking about how our shows got taken down. Our show got taken down.
Oh yeah,
he was talking about the right when you was talking. About
the YouTube feds came for us.
The YouTube show that we do, yeah, Bobby G, Real Talk. Yeah.
I call them the YouTube feds, man. They straight monitoring you, and they ready to pull the trigger at any given moment. The second that you speak on anything that is opposed to popular belief or with the mainstream, the agendas that the mainstream is pushing, they pulling that trigger and they getting you out of there with the swiftness.
For sure. Yeah, they have the algorithms to
keywords and stuff.
Right.
You say the word vaccine, that's picking up in the algorithm. You type that in your title.
It picks it right up.
That algorithm is picking that up, Bobby. Now look, your video that you posted was probably at least, your YouTube video was at least, everything that you post on there is at least nothing under 10 minutes. It was at least 10 minutes, probably like 12, 13 minutes.
Right.
That video was flagged within like 3 minutes of uploading it. So if it was a real person that sat and listened to make sure that it was no violation, they wouldn't even have enough time to hear the whole thing. but they use the algorithms to pick up on things, you know, keywords, even audio. So you can use the title, of course, and then words in a description of your video and the actual audio itself, the words. That's just like when you use somebody's music. If you download an instrumental and then you make a song to a, let's say you download a Katy Perry instrumental, whoever, right? And then you make a song to it, you sing the song, and then you go put it out. This song, it could be flagged within seconds. Like, it's like, how did they know? They didn't have enough time to even hear it. It's the algorithm. They pick it up. They could pick up music. It could pick up words. It could pick up just about anything. It's crazy. I think we got,
We
got Joe. I think there's Joe right here. Joe, is that you?
Yeah. What you guys need is an algorithm to pick me up instead of making me wrap my knuckles outside the door.
Yeah,
how are you guys doing?
Good, Joe.
Are we
definitely,
I was going to come in. How come
Suzette? Want to hear your take on
how come
it.
Suzette's here before me? Hey, Suzette, don't you
have
a show to do?
See?
Today,
see, you got this from accountability. If you said from the beginning, we would have saw you. We got into conversation. I don't like to sit still because we're all home. We're loose. We're in our night clothes. I like to get up and, you know, I want to sit here like a robot. Bad enough, you know, all of this stuff, distractions and stuff got us like robots anyway. So I like to get up and, you know, pace a little bit because I'm already brainwashed enough from social media and the television and video games and everything that they have distracting us. We're already sitting still like zombies anyway, so I like to get up and pace when we have
like
these conversations.
Yeah. I like Suzette's suggestion. In case one or two people within any particular organization are being threatened with termination because they won't take the vaccination, so-called vaccination, they should at least try to organize the rest of their colleagues to get a class action suit. Because if that makes the news, that certainly will make the alternate right news, the so-called alternate right news, then maybe other people will be able to do that. It might be able to prevent a civil war. Because if people can actually take to the courts to get some remedy, and if that remedy actually does come down through the courts, then we might be able to reverse what's going on.
Yeah, at least
it does seem like they're pushing that agenda. Do you see that?
Oh, I was saying at least it's a shot, you know, to try it out. Nothing else to lose except for, you know, everything. You got to
try. Yeah,
except
for everything. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point you make, Joe. They're doing this right in front of our face. They're not even hiding it. They are intentionally trying to provoke a civil war. Like, it's so obvious.
And if they do, you know what's going to happen. We're going to lose. Forget about what the preppers say in terms of going up to the mountains and staying there and, and living the life of, Grizzly Adams. It's not going to happen. Because one thing Biden did say, which was correct, and which he said about a month or so ago, is that the United States has the F-15s, the tanks, the weapons. We, as a population, we think that because we have more guns than people, that somehow it's going to be effective against that type of armament. It's not. We are not organized. Do you know of anybody outside of a few militias who are ready to in case there is a civil war, to go up against the United States government? I don't.
Yeah, I don't either, unfortunately. Yeah, that's definitely something to think about. You know, we are not. That is the thing. They don't want us to have guns. That's why they are doing the whole thing, cracking down on these cities and people with guns that don't, you know. Certain people probably shouldn't have it. You know, if you want to be out there on
some. Yeah, I got me feelings about that because there's some crazy people out there that definitely don't.
Yeah, there's some nuts out there. You know. Certain people that's about, like, just protecting the family, they're not about going out there doing anything ignorant with it, then it's okay to keep it. It's just to protect your communities where you live. And see, that's another thing. Our communities are not strong enough. We don't look out for each other in the community. Like, not even in your building sometimes, where you live at, your home. Like, you know, you may not even get along with your next door neighbor, you know? So that's the problem. We don't have unity amongst each other. It's where someone can just come into our community and gun down somebody, and we taking videos and we talking, but we not really doing anything about it. You know, we talking, we making it viral. I mean, those are good things. But we're not even preventing stuff from happening. Like, we're not saying, no, we're not going to let you, you know what I mean, do something to that minority right there. Because, no, we're just not, we're going to all step in, and we're going to watch you, and we're going to make sure you don't do anything specific. We don't have strong communities like that. So that's another issue, too. So if we had a community and we all stuck together, it'd be tougher for someone to come in our community and just try to do anything they want with the community. So even if we don't have
You would think so, Bobby. I've had discussions with people, especially women, and I said to them, look, they didn't want, you know, they didn't want any kind of Second Amendment. They always thought guns were dangerous and yada, yada. So I said, look, if you're in a community where there's about, let's say, 500 people, and it's a gun-free zone, nobody can have guns because everybody's obeying the law. And a few blocks away, there's another community of about 500 people, and everybody's got a gun. Now, what we all agree upon is that doesn't matter what kind of laws the government mandates, criminals are going to get guns. So now you've got a bunch of gangs who now take a look at the community I'm in, which has guns, and the community which you're in, which doesn't have guns. Now, which community do you think they're going to be more willing to rob? And do you know I could make a dent? I could not make a dent in that. Yeah. But I couldn't make a dent in that person's argument. They thought, no, you can't have guns. It's too dangerous. Look at what happens when there are arguments, you know, and they're tap dancing around the issue. So I don't fight. You want to believe what you want to believe, God bless you. But,
no, yeah, that's crazy to think that people shouldn't have guns. That is insane, because what do you do if an innocent woman is getting robbed or somebody trying to rape her, or, you know, somebody trying to invade your home or anything? No, people definitely have the right to bear arms, for sure.
Protect yourself.
No,
right?
That's crazy to say people shouldn't have guns, period.
It
comes to a point where you have activists, you know, going around making people feel ashamed, or basically just collectively own these brains that tell them guns are bad, guns are bad, guns are bad, even though it makes sense to say, okay, so if there is a gunman inside of a theater, a restaurant, whatever, and there are people that are also packing concealed carry because they have the permits, or law-abiding citizens, and you just have some nutso that thinks he's going to come in and rob or just have a field day shooting up the place, never mind whoever he kills in the process, what are the chances that he's going to actually get off doing that before any of the other people who are law-abiding citizens take him out? You know what I mean? Would you rather cower and try and hope that you're going to get out of there alive because nobody's there to save the day, so to speak? Or are you going to be thankful that that we can carry, conceal carry, and protect ourselves and protect our neighbors and protect our families, just in general protection, you know? But they can't get, that's not logical to them. It doesn't make sense to them for some reason, because
it doesn't compute.
They've been told over and over, guns are bad, guns are bad.
Right.
Brainwashed.
Yeah, I think more of the argument typically is the high-powered assault, like rifle type of guns. I think that's where the real argument comes in. Like, should somebody be allowed to have a AR-15? Like, is it justified? Is it necessary? I think everybody should definitely, anybody who is a law-abiding citizen, right, who doesn't have a criminal history, should be able to have a gun, at least a handgun.
Yes,
I don't know about, like, you know, let's say an M16. You know what I mean?
He should have that too,
Bobby.
I mean, tell you, should.
Like, you know, like something like that. I don't know, because there's so many mentally psycho crazy people that we see these mass shootings, and we see how many deaths. We see even children get killed in these mass shootings. So as far as those guns, that's where I'm kind of like, yeah, I don't know about that. You know what I mean? I don't know about that, but I definitely feel like people should definitely be able to have a right to bear arms for sure. I mean, we're not 300 million MMA fighters. Like, everybody can't protect themselves the same. We're not trained martial artists. What are we going to do? We attacked by somebody five times the size or anything. Like, you got to be able to protect yourself. Like, that's just crazy.
Yeah, it's one of those situations where if somebody wants it bad enough, they're going to get it, as far as a gun, a rifle, whatever. Parents are supposed to be responsible to, put their firearms away so that children don't have access to them. If you are a responsible parent, then you would teach your child gun safety. You would teach your child to respect it. And that used to be taught in the schools, elementary schools. And we hardly had any type of mass shootings or anything like that. Right now, there's mental illness that happens. These mass shootings are taking place because of teenagers that, got something going on in their brain, whether it's chemical or something that was induced by the parents or some other thing that had caused them to do what they did.
What you were just talking about earlier, Suzette, about the the signals and all that, I mean, because who knows, right? Who knows? Mm-hmm. Who knows what's enticing these people's brains to go commit these horrendous acts of savagery murder? You know what I mean? Like, who's to say?
I mean, my dad had raised my sisters and I. He had no sons, so it's four girls. So he would take us out. We would go shooting. I was 12 years old when I first shot a .22 rifle. Then later, because we would go practice shooting up in Lytle Creek, and so I shot a .30-06. We just had rifles, so we didn't have any handguns. But he taught us how to respect them, and basically, we saw the damage that they could do as far as the watermelons and the water bottles and stuff that we would shoot up. And so
that's right.
It was fun, but but if you curiosity killed the cat. If you don't teach your kid, they're going to be going to do something that you don't want them to do or didn't teach them about, and that's just the way it goes. But for adults, mental illness, I guess.
I got mixed feelings about that, though. Sometimes I'll be wondering, the way these people just go do these school shootings and all this stuff, and then the family's like, they was just fine, and then all of a sudden... And I'm like, no,
but
they
didn't know that
something is weird about that.
Or getting tormented in school. A lot of times these kids get bullied in school, and they had no one to turn to, or when they went to talk to somebody in school, counselor or whoever, they didn't get the help, and they kept getting pushed, and they said, you know what, I'm going to go home and get that AK-47, come back and shoot up the entire school. And a lot of times, sometimes these people also was on medication, on some type of mind-altering drug, because they had some type of... They've been diagnosed with a medical issue, and they gave them drugs. And then now they're, they're school. And then now
that's a good point.
Yeah. So sometimes a lot of these people be on medication, but the medication is mind-altering. Yeah.
The more famous mass shooters...
Been on psychotropic drugs. Now, the ones about the ones like Columbine, the mass shootings in the schools, the churches, et cetera, those are rare events. And they may or may not be on psychotropic drugs as well. I'm not quite sure. But they're rare. The thing is that even if a mentally sick person has a gun, if he's going to use that gun against his neighbor, then he's going to get killed. Simple. That eliminates him. Okay, guns shouldn't even be registered with the United States government. The parchment called the United States Constitution says the government shall not infringe upon the right to bear arms. I shouldn't have to tell some stranger in Washington that I've got a gun, because now I'm in their database, and guess who they're going to come after when they want to collect guns? Me.
There you go.
I shouldn't have to apply for a permit, but I have to because why? The government stretches out its tentacles and wraps it around all of us. The government's in charge, and the lobbyists are in charge of the government, and they're not there to protect us.
Did you go? Right. We're not supposed to be able to protect ourselves if something's happening. You're supposed to let them, like, get yourself in the situation, get gunned down, and then they handle their business and find out who shot you.
The cops come along. Yeah. No, they cordon off the area, then they pass it off to the detectives. They don't give a shit. The best defense against being attacked would be to have a community that has the reputation that if you show up, you get your head blown off. There's an example where the Dalton gang, I think either, this may not be true or not, but, you know, it makes for good lore, that the Dalton gang went into either Tombstone or Dodge City, I forget which one, and some people recognized them. They went inside the bank. Then the people got ready. The Dalton gang robbed the bank, came back out, got on their horses, and met 30-30s, Winchesters, Remingtons, because everybody took their rifle. Shoved it out the window and said, bang, bang. Now, what happened after that, I don't know. But that's, you know, they didn't come back. Now, that's, you know, if I live in a community which we had a reputation for blowing your head off, I don't think a lot of people are going to come by and mess with us.
There you go. See what you just said? That's like, say, Texas, where people are allowed to bear arms. You don't hear all that stuff happening in Texas because people are allowed. People are going to think twice because people got guns. When they know you got guns and you're allowed to carry, they're going to think twice about trying to arm you or rob you or something like that because they know they're going to get shot. Just like
that's
that.
That's right.
You know, so... I feel like it has to be
some sense of a branch of control, because without that, unfortunately, the criminals and the evil make it where, like, you have to have some type of monitoring system, or how it's going to be so difficult to, you know, to get a grip on it. Like, just picture if there was no trace of guns, no nothing, just like anybody can just have a gun. And just anybody can just go shoot and kill. There's so many wicked people that, and I know criminals
get killed,
get their hands on guns anyway. But I think it would be a lot worse than it already is. So I do support the right to bear arms for sure, but I wouldn't say that. I don't think that, you know, there shouldn't be any sense of
there should
of,
be accountability.
Monitoring.
There should be, like, for example,
of it.
Like in Chicago. Do you know there's 1,700, not deaths, I think it's about 200 deaths in Chicago, but 1,700 people got wounded from May this year to now in Chicago. The stricter the gun laws, the more deaths. Plus, drugs have a lot to do with it. If you legalize drugs, I'm a libertarian, and I don't want to legalize drugs just to make everybody get high. I want to legalize drugs so that there won't be a black market for the drugs. No black market. What happens? Just like in the 1920s prohibition against alcohol. Then the alcohol became legal. What happened? Alcohol went out of business.
You just talked about that.
There you go.
Yeah,
oh,
you don't see it. Black market.
Oh, yeah?
That's
not to mention, of course, also, that when was the last time you heard of a law-abiding citizen that had, concealed carry or just a carry or, you know, had firearms that were legal? Perform any of these mass shootings? When was the last time you heard about that?
Yeah.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We hear about what goes on in Chicago. We hear gangs, whether they're white, Mexican, black, doesn't matter. But usually their guns are not legal. And so the gun laws that are being put on the books constantly are limiting the law-abiding citizens' right to protect themselves and their families by limiting, you know, putting your gun in a lockbox, separating the ammunition from
right.
the gun itself and the firearm and
yes.
putting it in a different place. You know, by the time the robber or whatever comes in with his gun,
yeah.
and you've got
Are
to
you
go
screwed?
Your lockbox for this and your lockbox for that.
yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Done.
Right.
Yeah, you're done.
You're in trouble. Right.
Y'all lucky y'all don't live in Maryland or New York. Because in Maryland and New York, you can speak to, I mean, Bobby, you can speak to New York, but in Maryland, when I went to go, I had a situation happen, and I went to go try to get a gun. Because I was not about to play games. Somebody's about to get their head blown off. I was not playing, right? So I went to go get a gun. And when I talked to the guy at the gun store, by the time he finished laying down the laws of Maryland and everything, I was like, what I got to do? What I got to do? How many hours? And I got to do what? I got to do this? That? What? I couldn't believe it was mind-boggling. And I was explaining the situation. I was trying to – he explained to me. I appreciate the guy. She broke it down. He stayed on the phone with me for like 45 minutes. And he was saying that, like, in Maryland, even if somebody breaks in your house, if you shoot them, you're probably going to get arrested and then explain your story later. Not only that, if you shoot them while they're fleeing, forget about it. Forget about it. Even if they broke into your house and made you feel threatened, if they're fleeing, if
yeah.
you shoot them, you're done. I'll say, what? It was crazy. I was
That's
like, man,
crazy.
The gun laws in
mm-hmm.
Maryland are crazy. Bobby, I know you can speak to New York. We know New York got straight.
Well, Bobby's laws. Worse. Bobby's even worse. In New York, from what I hear.
You get years. The football player, Pesco Dallas, remember, he got like 3 years in jail for shooting himself with his own gun. Remember, Bobby?
He sure did. Yes, I remember that. Yeah, he was in a nightclub over here on the
yeah.
east side of Manhattan. Yeah.
Yeah.
And,
I remember about it.
He shot his own self in the leg and went to jail. Yep.
He went to jail for
you
a
know,
long time.
I'm thinking about what Suzette said about the electronic safeguard. If I was a political cartoonist, I would draw a cartoon where I'm the lawbreaker. I break into somebody's house. Somebody goes, look, we've got a burglar. And I'm saying, as the burglar, I go, hey, I'll just sit down. I'll wait. You go and unlock your gun for me, okay? And I just wait until he unlocks the gun, then I blow his head off.
You feel me? Hey, y'all, listen, man. I'm trying to tell you, listen. That's scary, though, to have the strict gun laws. Do y'all know that one day, this was years ago, I didn't live where I live now. I woke up, right? So I went to go down, and I got an alarm system and everything. So I go downstairs, I'm getting ready to leave, I'll start my day, and I hear a sound, I hear a noise, I'm like, hold on. But I heard something. Then I just go, I had a basement, so I open the basement door, and I see like a light, like, you know, coming from the back, but open it, this just could be just like the light in the back of the basement, whatever. So I take like two steps down, and I hear some voices. I was like, oh, my God, what is going on? So I immediately go grab my cousin, because I live with my cousin at the time, and we started debating what we're going to do. You know what I mean? Like, we ain't got no guns in the house, you know? So what are we going to do?
Uh-huh.
And it was one of like the, when I tell you everything was going like a million miles an hour, it was so crazy. Like, I give the full
yeah.
story on a separate show. But it was crazy. And it's just to think about this, though, right? Somebody's in my house that's uninvited. I just woke up, come downstairs, somebody's in my house. If I would have went down there, saw them, and shot them, I would have went to jail.
That's
yeah.
crazy.
Now, luckily,
I
had a
gun.
The first thing I was thinking, if I had a gun, I would confront them, but it would not have been smart to confront someone who obviously broke into your house, if they're in your house. And this is daytime. It's not even nighttime no more, y'all. It's light outside. And it's like a party at Tay's house. Boy, y'all.
I
You know,
I ain't talking
head,
to nobody
I,
who's breaking into
my house. I
could
have got my head blown off in my own house.
Thank you.
I could have got my
right.
head blown off in my own house if I went into, you know what I mean? But having strict gun laws of discouraging people from getting guns could put somebody in a situation like that. You got a home invasion and you can't defend yourself. It's crazy.
Yeah, like I said, I ain't talking to nobody.
Yeah, these laws are designed to get you freaking taken out of here. You know what I mean? Like, you cannot do nothing. These laws, this is why a lot of people do not pay attention to the law. People are more concerned with their life. Forget about the law when someone is in your house trying to do something. Forget, I'm not thinking about the law. You're raping my place. You're not.
I have somebody who wants to join the conversation, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
So bring the hubby on?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Bring
hello,
it boy.
Gentlemen.
It's oh, bring it boy.
Good job tonight, guys. I'll let you guys know that. And I got something for you about with the guns and not being a big fan of them, but they are necessary. Is back when I was younger, when the Rodney King riots were happening, I was in L.A., and I was working at the West Covina Fashion Plaza here. And all of a sudden, the cops come in my store and tell me to shut the store down and get the fuck out of the building because they're on their way to where I was at. I was like, oh, crap. So what I do is I go out to the parking lot. I'm taking the bus at the time. And I get the bus driver pulls up. There's no one on it. And the bus driver looks at me and goes, are you serious? And I'm like, yeah, I need to get home. And he's like, oh, okay, all right. Well, and then a cop comes by, and he's like finding out what's going on because he knows the bus hasn't left yet. And the cop goes, are you serious? You're going to really ride the bus right now? I go, well, I got to get home. I live in San Bernardino, so I need to do this. Well, it just happened that my boss pulls up, and he says, I'll take care of him. So he takes me to his house in Whittier. Now, it's still L.A., and we get there, and his brother had left us a gun. And it was one of those little, Derringers. Well, we don't know much about guns. So anyways, we're checking out, looking at it. Well, someone caulked it, and we weren't too sure if there was still one in the chamber. So we put the gun down. We just left it on the table, and one of his neighbors comes by in the room, and we're all in there drinking some beers and having fun, and picks up the gun and shoots at the ceiling. And sure enough, there's one in the chamber. And that's just being so inexperienced with guns that we were lucky. And we were scared shitless after that. And then we're thinking, oh, shit, the cops are going to come because of the noise. As everyone's at rest at the time.
Wow.
I just wanted to share that.
I mean, if somebody was upstairs and it shot through the ceiling, if somebody was right above y'all, they could have got.
There you go.
Great point. And we're lucky we were the ones in the second floor, so we didn't have to do it. Yeah, you're right, because we heard it bounce around. I've shot guns before, you know, like at the range and stuff, but I didn't think about if there was one still in the chamber or not. And it just happens to pick it up and just shoot to the ceiling. Sure enough, boy, you talk about just jump out of your skin.
Oh, yeah. Gun safety is something that's not practiced enough.
Yeah.
With a lot of legal gun holders. Some people, y'all know some people just buy a gun, they just have it, don't never go to the range, don't get familiar with it, and just
don't know how to use
have it.
It.
And then wait for something to happen, and then they're sitting there panicking, don't know what to do, end up shooting somebody or doing something reckless with it because they don't understand how to properly use a gun. So that is
a similar thing happened to a friend of mine. He was in the house. A friend of mine, this was in Brooklyn. This was back in like the early 90s. And he had M1. And you know M1 is big. And he was messing around with it. And he lived on the first floor. It was a two-story home he lived in. And next thing he was playing with it, and the gun went off, went right through the ceiling into to my else's, I guess, apartment upstairs. No, luckily nobody got hit, you know. So, but still, you know, he was messing around with it, didn't realize that I guess one was in the chamber, and it just said, wow, right up into the ceiling. And he was like, oh, everybody was like, wow, oh, shit. You know, it was an accident. but someone could have died from that. You know, someone could have really got killed if they would have got hit. It's so easy, right? That one mistake could have took somebody's life. You know, and thank God nobody got hit. But that's why safety is so important. I mean, yeah, people should have the right to bear arms, but you should also make sure you know exactly what you're doing. And the whole lockbox thing, I mean, I know that's to say, if you got children in the house, I know why they do that, but if something happens, you know, it's all about timing. And by the time you get to this box and take that out, and then you forget the freaking code to open this box, then you're in trouble.
Let me tell you something. It's fuck that lockbox. You put your guns on a rack. You keep them loaded. You teach your children.
You
like she's ever talking
do,
about
man.
The age of 12. And the same they got a video where a 9-year-old girl was being taught, I think it was a 9-year-old girl, being taught gun safety. She knew how to handle a rifle. In a lot of country rural areas, your kids know how to handle a rifle or a handgun. That lockbox, you can take it and shove it. Because the gun should be on a rack loaded just in case. Because, again, if you know how to respect the firearms, and if you've been out there in the range, if you've been out there with your parents, you see the watermelons and the bottles blow up, you see the recoil, and you play around with them long enough, you're not going to have this morbid curiosity about, geez, what will happen if I press the trigger? You know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
You keep it there. Somebody comes inside your house. I don't give a rat's ass what the laws are. I'm not going to spout poetry to somebody. I'm blowing the head off.
Thank you.
There was a great video that you can't. It's not there anymore. It's mainly they show women shooting shotguns, and it's like they never shot one before, and they're all lined up to shoot, and they pull the trigger, and the thing kicks on them. And so these girls get so wrapped up by him in the face and everything. And it's like the guy, whoever's gutting these guys, don't you show them how to use it? Because they think they're so badass with it. Even the dudes, you know, they think they're so badass with the gun, and they go pull that trigger, and the thing goes smacks them in the face.
There you go.
Yeah.
See, that's why you have to know how to hold it. That's the first thing you got to do. Learn how to hold it correctly so that stuff like that won't happen. I was watching this movie the other day. I was watching a movie with Jennifer Lopez, right? She had an abusive, she had a daughter, and she had an abusive, boyfriend, like her, the baby's father.
Are you talking about Enough?
Passed away. Huh?
Are you talking about Enough, that movie?
I don't know the name of the movie, but she went to go stay with the father. She went to go stay with her husband's father, who passed away. He was in the car accident, he passed away, and it was her fault. Right? She was behind the wheel or something like that, and she went to go stay. I'm going to tell you, once I find it, I'm going to send it to you, Dave. I'm going to tell you the name of it. But it was so funny because she went to go to the country. And also, you had the guy, what's this guy's name? Y'all know he's a big actor from back in the 90s and all that. And also, you had the guy from Lean On Me. Oh, my God. But it was a great movie. I'm going to find it. I will send it to you guys. But anyway,
was that the one where she took martial arts? Was that the one, Bobby, she took martial arts?
No, that was a different one.
Oh, okay.
That was good.
Oh, okay. My bad. I was thinking the martial arts.
But what I was saying is that they had big shotgun on the wall, like you were saying, Joe. But in the kitchen cabinet is where they had, like, you know, the can of like lard, like Crisco oil. It was empty,
right.
But that's where they kept the shells. Where they kept all the shells that were done in the kitchen cabinet, in the can, in like a Crisco oil can. Yeah, lost.
Right.
Yeah, that was funny, you know. So forget about the lockbox. You can do something like that, you know.
Forget
and
that lockbox.
Yeah, I agree with that. Forget that, man. You gotta do what you gotta do.
Are you kidding
yourself.
Me? It's like I was saying with the political cartoon. Somebody's in my house. I'm going through the lockbox. She's gonna say, "Oh, take your time. I just sit here and wait for you to unlock it, then I'll blow your brains out."
Yeah, well, they'll also say, well, you know, I might have to hurt myself, so I have to sue you, too.
Yeah.
And just take it along.
Yeah. Sure.
What do you guys feel about, when you talk about shootings, what do you think about Las Vegas? You think that one guy can
involve
that?
The Las Vegas shooter? The sniper?
Yeah. I have a hard time seeing that old man bouncing around room to room, grabbing guns and picking people off like he was.
Man, that was that was crazy. I think we did a show on it when it happened, but yeah, that was mind boggling. And then he got a chance to kill himself before law enforcement was able to get. It's like, you know what I mean? That just even put more salt in the wounds. Like, you would rather the law enforcement had been able to say they got him there, for him to be able to have the satisfaction of cowardly taking himself out after massacring all those people. You know, and that's the problem that we talked about earlier, about as far as, like, just being able to give anybody a gun. People like that, crazy people might get a gun anyway, but I'm just saying, if you make it, I don't think it should be too easy to get a gun, because I think people should have to undergo some type of psycho evaluation to make sure you're mentally stable, because if you're not, I mean, I know some people that's cuckoo, and I can't imagine these, some of these people just having a rifle stick gun that they can just go, because, you know, you can get a gun on the underground market, but if you ain't got no connection, no plugs, and you're a person that just maybe yourself, you might not have the connections. But anybody can go to find a store and buy one if they're legally able to. And so that part would be concerning. But I want to get back to this topic because, you know, this gun topic is a very intriguing one. But I think we're going to have to do a full show on that because there's so much to talk about. And I want to get back to this censorship and propaganda. Is you still got to use that?
She's going to get a gun.
She registered right now. She's on the website. She's on the website registering right now. 909? Is that? She calls from a different phone? Are you calling 909?
Yeah, that's us.
909?
Hello?
Okay.
You hear me?
Yeah.
Yes.
You're
okay,
on.
Good.
I can hear you. We can hear you.
Thank you.
All right. 909?
909.
That's Suzette, right?
Yes, it is. Yes.
Okay. Well, she's unmuted. I don't know if she's getting ready.
It hung up. Hello?
Yeah, it still says it's on there, but...
All right.
I'm hearing her. Oh, there you go.
Well, you're on an extension, right?
Right,
breaking voice.
Yeah, it did. It
so
did
you're calling
out.
The same. Oh, okay.
So let me speak on this real quick. We, Suzette had referred me and Bobby to some basically a documentary. It was broken down in four parts. And it was interesting. It was about Sigmund Freud, Anna Freud, Edward Bernays, you know, and all, you know, the whole psychoanalyst thing and how they used that, you know, to as far as like the elections and use that in politics. Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Bernays is,
you know,
to be a cousin or something. It's supposed to be related to Freud, isn't it?
Yes, the nephew.
Wow.
Yep. Sure was the nephew. And it's crazy how they used that to, to gain power and to, for the, oh my goodness, whose phone is that with the static and the noise?
I don't know.
Is that mine? Let me mute myself because I don't hear it. Let me
mute myself to see if that makes any change. All right, let me mute myself for a second.
Unfinished Life. That's the Jennifer Lopez movie. And Unfinished Life. Unfinished Life. With Morgan Freeman.
I still hear it.
I forgot his name.
Okay, I have a mute on my phone. Here I go.
Oh, okay.
And Robert.
I don't hear it. That is Joe. That was your phone, Joe, because I don't even hear it now. Joe, hang up and call back and see if that fixes it. Because that's Okay. I'll try that.
I'll call my
Okay.
Yes,
yeah,
the movie
but,
is called An Unfinished Life. But yeah. All right, go ahead.
Okay. Bobby, so how was you feeling about this? We got a chance to talk about that with Suzette's audience, but really didn't get a chance to get into that with our audience. Like, what? How did you feel about it when you well, I think we got Suzette back. Okay.
Hello.
Suzette?
Hello. Yes, it's Robert. This is her husband.
Oh, yeah. Both numbers on here twice. He's on here twice.
Oh, well, I'm coming
this number is on here two times. No, I disconnect one of them. There we go.
Okay, cool, because
okay.
we weren't too sure.
All right.
Cool. It got cut off.
Yeah. It's not on that
okay,
anymore.
That's good. All right. Guys are back now. That's good. All right. Yeah, so what was you saying?
Yeah, so I was saying, so how did you feel after watching the documentary that Suzette got us to watch and learning how they was using it? Psychoanalysis to politics and everything. How did you feel about that?
First of all, I was very thankful that Suzette shared that with us. So that was awesome. First of all, she shared some stuff because I was a guy who always listened to not always, but ever since like I would say 2000, early 2000. Shortly before like 9/11, I was listening to a lot of alternative news. I was listening to Alex Jones, InfoWars. I listened to a lot of different people. And so, you know, that was great. But, so far with the link she shared, it was very interesting. It was kind of frustrating, depressing, like the stuff, just to know, the thing that is being done to suppress us, you know, it's really sad, you know, and it's a violation of the, I believe, of the First Amendment of the Constitution, you know. It's very unconstitutional. It's a lot of stuff that's going on, it's very unconstitutional. And,
I think we got Joe back. Joe? All
right, awesome.
Yeah, is that better?
Yeah, it's better.
Yeah.
All
right. Okay, good. Okay.
Yeah, so.
Go ahead, Bobby.
Yeah, it was very unconstitutional, you know, a lot of stuff that, very interesting, very informative stuff. She said a lot of stuff that I feel that everyone needs to know. You know, the guys like, you know, us, Joe, Robert, all you guys are awesome. You guys know what's going on. And you guys are trying to help share knowledge with the people so that we can grow and just know what's going on and learn how and try to figure out ways how to deal with what's going on. So it's good that to be surrounded by like minds. So that's awesome. So, but, you know, thanks to Suzette for sharing those links. And it gave me more things to look into, to look at. Also, I like the other platforms that she shared, the other browsers where, you know, it's not like too many people are watching what you're doing. You know, it's not being Big Brother isn't watching, you know, so that's cool, you know. But, yeah, so far the stuff that, you know, that's going on, it's just, wow, like, it's just unbelievable at the same time. You just got to learn how to figure out ways to get around things that's happening, how to get around it, you know, legally.
It's wild how those things are coming to play. It takes a bit for them to form, but it's like as soon as they form, something else jumps in the way, and then you start to read about it. And you're like, holy shit, that was already in plan.
Yeah.
It's like they're a step ahead every goddamn time.
Well, with my theory is that the Rothschilds are in charge. They've been in charge for centuries, not just decades. Their power started with fueling the Napoleonic Wars. They gave Napoleon gold so that he could finance the wars, and they found out from that endeavor that they could make more money by creating conflict between nations, making more on the interest rates on the loans, and extending their power that way. They've had centuries to plan this out. Now that the technology is here, they're finally implementing their final plan. Their final plan, to me, is transhumanism. They want to become immortal, just like Caesar, Caligula, Nero, Hitler, etc. They want to fuse their bodies, their consciousness, with androids so that they'll live forever. And if the technology is here, we're dead.
You know, I like that, too, what you're saying there, Joe. But one thing, though, is technology is faster than they are at the moment, and they're trying to implement these plans to make what you're saying come true. And it's going to bite them in the ass because I have a feeling it's going to bite them in the ass because they're not going to be – it's going to be so far ahead that more shit's going to really gonna hit the fan. And I think they're going to spin out of control where – what is it? What the government – the whole world wants one bank, and I don't think they'll be part of it.
One world government and all of that stuff.
Right.
Yeah, and I think China is trying right there to step on them.
Right, because we owe China so much. We're in debt with China. Soon they're going to be running this country.
Those
crafty bastards got their hands.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, those crafty bastards got their hands in a lot of areas, and it's not good. But where they got themselves here, where they're able to get land.
Yeah,
they've got water rights in Australia. They've got some water rights here in the United States as well. But the thing is, talking about, they do. But it's a small percentage, but it could grow the way our government is. But the one technology that could bite them in the ass would be AI. You guys have got to do research on AI. It is a most fascinating topic. If AI grows to where it reaches the Holy Grail, and if it becomes a sentient being, we all are going to suffer because they will look upon us, or it will look upon us, as cockroaches. It will be more than a million times more intelligent than man.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not exaggerating.
I think on that stuff. Yeah.
I am not exaggerating about the million times. The computer now, there's the second fastest computer in the world, can do 64 quadrillion operations per second. That's in China. The fastest computer in the world is owned by Google. I think it does something like over 100 quadrillion operations per second.
Jeez.
You hook that up with AI, easily be a million times more intelligent than us. To put that into perspective, whatever man would be able to create in 1 million years, AI could create in 1 year.
Well,
where's John Connors?
They're trying to fire you. They really are. Because if it gets to that point, we see how far advanced things. Just think about where we were in, let's say, 1995, and then look at where we are now, 26 years later? Look at where we are. Just from that, from Windows 95 to this, to our phones are way more powerful than the highest-end computer you could buy at the store. You know, our phones are more powerful than that right now. Mm-hmm. So you can only imagine you can only imagine what they have that they haven't exposed to the world yet as far as artificial intelligence and, how advanced it is right now. But if it gets to a point, because, they're playing around with it and they're trying to, build, these super deeper computers and AIs and stuff. And if it gets to a point where it starts to feel like it's its own conscious thing, it has its own consciousness, and it just like you said, looking at us like cockroaches, right? And it wants to kind of, instead of being, like, just picture this, and I know it sounds crazy, but, like, it starts to think on its own, and it's like, wait, you're not going to control me anymore. The day the AI says, you're not going to control me anymore, and this is a super advanced, super duper computer system, a system, a network, forget a computer, a network. That's what it's really about. It's a network that then we're talking about, like, it can, we all got computers and phones, so it would have access to all of that. Just imagine what that would do. That's crazy.
And not only
it's
that,
kind
it
of
would,
frightening when you think about it.
Right.
I'll call.
It would be able to have access.
Oh my God.
It would have access.
I'll call.
It would have access to all of it in less than 5 minutes.
Everything. That's what I'm saying.
Wait, can you say
everything. That, everything. Right. Everything that a computer is hooked up to, it'll be able to figure
that's what
out.
I'm
because
saying. Our TVs. Everything.
Yeah.
How would you fight back?
It'll be
how
able,
would you fight back? It can monitor
you.
You could different.
In 5 minutes, it would war game every scenario, in 5 minutes. Think about it: 64 quadrillion operations per second, and if it gets hooked up to that type of computer or quantum computer, which would probably be even faster, and then it would be have it will find out. I'm telling you, you
that's
have no idea about how dangerous AI is because the speed of it is incredibly fast. For example, do you know how fast it would take it to memorize and know the Encyclopedia Britannica?
What?
Say that again, Bobby.
Second. Point something second.
How about point 0000000 seconds.
Wow.
How about
that's
one
good.
Trillionth, okay, of a second?
Wow. That's bananas. And like you were saying earlier about AI deciding that they want to take over. Don't you know, I don't know if you guys ever saw this animation called Japan animation called Dragon Ball Z. But that's exactly what happened.
Of course,
Doctor,
I love Dragon Ball.
So you remember when Dr. Zero created the android who decided to, listen to you, the android, and then
he turned on them and destroyed them.
He turned on
them.
So, yeah, that's what I mean. When you said that, that's exactly what I thought about. Yeah. So that's, you never know.
There won't be any such thing as
animation.
Yeah.
A lot of the stuff we've seen in animation, look at Dick Tracy, the animation years ago, in the 70s, I think, or 60s.
The wristwatch radio.
There you go. He's talking to his boss on the watch TV radio, the TV whatever.
Yeah.
And look what they have now. I don't know if you can look at somebody with FaceTime on the watch, but you can talk to somebody with the Apple Watches. You know, they probably So everything that we saw, look at the jets, look at the hovercraft. They have them out right now. You know, they have them. It's not like out there, like in the general public now.
I've seen it. They do.
Oh, that reminds me, you guys. I invited you to my show, but you know, Suzette, you know, Donnie's show. And I invited you guys to meet the other two people who were into UFOs. And I let them know you might show up, and you didn't show up, and they were disappointed. And they're sending out aliens after you two guys. Okay? I'm letting you know.
I talked about this when we had that UFO show. I was talking about this. I already seen one UFO. I seen one UFO ever in my life, but it was a life changing. Like I'll never forget it, and I'm just so pissed that I didn't get my phone out. But I was too starstruck
in the moment.
And then it just vanished. It was crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every Saturday. He hasn't missed a Saturday in years.
Oh,
unlike the other ones I've recommended to you, where they sometimes didn't show up.
This guy has not missed a Saturday in here.
All right. These two guys. All right.
So I got the information. I had a busy weekend last weekend, but I try to make it this Saturday. Because I would love to be in on that discussion.
Well, Suzette and Bring a Boy came last Saturday. Didn't you guys?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yep. Wow. Sure did.
Yeah.
Okay.
Suzette, you went to the UFO phenomenon too?
We had joined the show, yes. We were there. I mean, listening and participating in the show. Mm-hmm. Yep. Everybody's really friendly. And
y'all out in California. I know y'all see UFOs all the time because y'all in California. And we don't get that. We don't see them a lot out here. But in California, I know y'all get a lot of activity out there.
Oh, man. The aliens
most
are the
of my
politicians.
Research comes to California. It's like, you know.
I just wanted to mention that we've had the capabilities of conflict simulation since the 1970s. And when it started back then, it was just basically the capabilities were graphical user interfaces. But today, it's in real time. They can simulate conflict, like, for instance, Afghanistan. So they can watch in real time what is going on the ground and basically communicate to, if we have on the ground soldiers, where the enemy is at, don't go around that corner, go around this corner type thing. And we've had that since the 1970s, and yet the military denies as far as any type of real time being able to watch what's going on the ground. They denied it during the Benghazi situation. They said, well, we didn't Charlene Lamb had mentioned it in her first testimony, and then thereafter they said, we don't have those capabilities to actually see what's going on the ground. It's like, bullshit. You've been working with a company called Livermore Computer Scientists, and they've been doing it for you. They created the program that does it, and, it talks about it in this magazine that's actually Science and Technology Department of Energy's Lawrence Livermore National Laboratories, February 2000 edition, that they talk about it. And, so they're so full of it. They're lying to the people constantly.
You
guys
can you
imagine
should
get together.
The type of stuff they're keeping from us?
I was just going to say, Suzette and you guys should get together, plan a show either on Suzette's speaker show or your show about what you guys are talking about tonight, the UFOs, the weapons, and let people know about it so that everybody can come and, listen to stuff which they don't. I don't hear about all of this as much as I hear about general politics.
Yeah, for sure. It's such a small community when it comes to like things that are just hard to fathom. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And the UFO phenomenon, known as UAPs now, is definitely one of those things where it's like, all right, y'all, come on, let's cut the games out. This ain't sci-fi. This is not Hollywood. This is real. What is going on? I would like to know. I mean, this crap is in the sky, is hovering, it's going in water, it's going at speeds of which that, from our understanding, we have not invented the technology to be able to reach those types of speeds. I've seen some stuff. I'm talking about zoop, zoop, one side of the sky to the other side, zoop, zoop, back and forth. Then shoot up to the sky, gone. Crazy stuff.
Yeah, I would like to see that.
On. Is it a foreign adversary? Did Russia create a super technology that we don't know about? Is it time travel? Is it from another planet? Or is it a secret base hidden in Antarctica? What is going on? Well, we got to stop denying it. We have to stop dismissing and denying the fact that this stuff it's happening because I've seen it with my own eyes. I don't care what nobody says. So
we've discussed the city underneath Antarctica, and one person has a theory about that. So you guys really, you guys should bring a lunch and enjoy each other's company talking about, you know.
I'm with it. I'm with it. I'm with it, man.
I've also heard of that Halliburton has CGI capabilities that, you know, when the towers on 9/11, basically, that it was an actual airplane, that it was a simulation of an airplane that going into the buildings and also creating these unidentified flying objects that people are seeing in other countries and here. Sometimes they're more predominant in certain countries. Mexico has a lot of sightings as well. I don't know.
Yes, they do.
I haven't delved down that rabbit hole yet, so interesting.
Oh, yeah, it's an interesting one. With your ability to research and go through files and stuff, you would be probably, you know, definitely great at finding information and shedding light for sure when it comes to that discussion.
Really to the world, yeah. I don't think anybody denies the fact that UFOs exist. It's aliens that I want.
Oh, you would be surprised.
I agree with you, Joe,
but there's a lot of people that are still in denial, and especially churchy people. Anybody that's like super, super churchy, super, super religious and not optimistic about the world and the universe, and people that dismiss that anything beyond Earth and the sun and maybe the other few other planets in the solar system is real. You know what I mean? Like, you got some people that think space is real. And, oh, my God.
Jeez.
It's crazy. So there's a lot of people that just like, you're not going to get through to them. You're not going to get through to them.
Yeah,
they're going to dismiss it every single time. And we got to let those people just do them. We have to continue to have our discussions and share information and bring this stuff to the light, because who else is going to do it? It's got to be people like us that have these discussions, the things that might seem hard to fathom, but it's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Propaganda is happening. Censorship is happening. UFO sightings are real. It's not movies. These things that we're talking about is real stuff. It's not a game.
Yeah, this is certainly should be definitely looked into. Now, if we have a UFO here, what is that saying about the UFO and their technology? If they can make it from one galaxy to here, to our galaxy, to our, you know, where Earth is, to our solar system, what is that saying about their technology? And we should be concerned, you know, so... Simple as that. Hopefully, you know, they're not, they're still here, so.
Well, hopefully they're not human beings, because if they are, we're dead. You know, hopefully they'll be like the Federation.
If they are. If they're human beings, like, if they're human but different from us, that would be concerning. But the thing is like, I try not to go so far. I don't know, because... just like, you know, we hear about it, you know, the possibility of it being from another world, we also hear about the possibility that there's an ancient civilization hidden in the deep depths of the Earth's oceans, too. Now, I don't know how far y'all have gotten into this UFO stuff, but I've been into it for a while, so I don't dismiss that either. Y'all know we haven't even got to the depths of the ocean. We haven't even listened. The majority of the ocean we haven't even got to. We haven't even reached it. We haven't even explored it. We don't even know everything that's down there, the type of life forms, if something intelligent like us, more intelligent, we don't know. There's a lot of stuff this planet that we don't know alone.
Yes.
This Earth alone that we live on that we don't even know about.
I saw things that I never saw before in the sea. I was watching some channel on cable showing, like, wildlife in the sea, and I saw wildlife, life in the sea that I never saw before in my life. So that, yeah. But also the military. Don't they have weapons in the sea that will come out of the sea, like missiles and things like that? Don't they have things that will come out of the sea?
They got some stuff. I think the military, you know what I think? I think the military already has the technology to, what would you call it? Basically to make you invisible where you can't see the, you know they got that technology. Because y'all know they was working on it. They're like,
They've had cloaking. There was an exercise where it was either Bush, maybe Obama, had sent over cloaked bombers to this particular country, and then said to the pilots, you know, okay, uncloak yourself to let them know that you're there. Just to give them and let them know that if you mess with us, we can come over to your country, bomb you. You won't even know we're there. Now, that's what I had read. Don't know if it's true.
And wow, it goes back to the Manhattan Project. That was part of the thing with the Manhattan Project, is that they were going to make that big old ship disappear in front of people. It would still be there, but it wouldn't be visible to the naked eye. But, of course, it failed. But that was about.
That's
and
crazy.
On Donnie's show, the two panelists, they talk about how the possibility is of flying saucers which are flying, you know, above us all the time, but you don't see them because they're cloaked. And if they uncloak themselves, they would litter the sky. This is what these two people believe. The aliens are here, but they're not unfriendly. There's an unfriendly versus a friendly race of aliens that are here. That I don't know about because I've never met an alien other than the immigrants
right.
that have come through the southern border, you know.
Right.
But other than
Yeah. I listen.
Keeping an open mind.
Go ahead,
Susan. Because I don't
yeah.
know.
Man. Listen. I don't know
right.
these things that we're seeing in the air. I don't know what technology it is, whether it's from here, whether it's some top secret government Area 51 stuff or something else. I don't know, but I can tell y'all this. The thing I see in my own eyes definitely disappeared in thin air. Not a cloud in the sky. Gone. Disappeared. Not flew to the point that it got beyond the horizon and it got past my vision. No, it just zoop in there, gone. So yeah, that cloaking thing is there's a cloaking technology out there. What technology is it? Where is it from? It's a whole different discussion. So, yeah, that's why it's important that we have these panels and have these discussions, because we need to talk about this stuff, because we got to get people thinking. Because y'all notice that they finally admitted that the UFO sightings are real. That's what I'm saying. You have to be almost like a retard to deny that UFOs aren't real, because the United States government came out with it already and said they are unidentified flying objects or unidentified aerial phenomenon that are in the skies, and they don't know. The conclusion was that they don't know what it is. They didn't say it's not real. They didn't say it's special effects or nothing. They said, we don't know.
Aren't
you
curious? After all this time?
Yeah, very curious. Very curious as to why they chose. Now, they could have just kept ignoring it. They decided to say, hey, well, guess what, y'all? This is happening. What you're seeing is really happening. You're not crazy. Like,
I can give you I can give you a potential theory. Because of paperclip, a lot of the German scientists came over here, and a lot of German scientists went over to Russia after World War II. One of the major scientists was Wernher von Braun. He actually was in charge of some of the missiles afterwards when he came here. He was he was a prize package. He had warned before he died, I think he died around
1990 or so, he had said to his assistant and a warning to the world, watch out for the fake alien invasion, because he knew about the New World Order. He said, they will proclaim invasion from Mars or invasion from planet X. It is a hoax. So that might be one of the reasons why.
Yeah. And throughout our history, when we view movies and television programs since the black and white that they would come out, of course we know how our government, our CIA, influences what the movie producers and what Hollywood puts out. And so if you put out movies that show scary aliens and they're going to attack your country and take over, it puts the fear of people as far as, oh no, somebody had a sighting, oh my God, what is going to happen? And then they put out movies showing friendly aliens. And then the view changes where, well, we should actually meet them. And, you know, if they come, we should have them come out and introduce ourselves, you know. And so they've been doing this, playing us back and forth with these alien stories. It's fascinating when you think about it and look back at the different movies that have been put out with aliens. You've got E.T., and then you have these other lizard-looking things that roll into your head.
Oh, yeah.
There's an actual website.
They just blew up everything.
yeah, right. You know, I guess what is Independence Day, where they were attacking the U.S., you know, or actually the world, for that matter, with those big things. And then we had that famous one. Gosh, now I'm drawing a blank. That what is it?
The Twilight Zone episode.
I'm dating myself right now.
Was it War of the Worlds?
No, but that's one. That's one.
Yeah, that's another one.
Yeah.
The one, my favorite is the one of the Twilight Zone episode, the black and white one. That's the one back in the 60s, where it was entitled To Serve Man, where aliens came down to Earth, and they were proclaiming to be friendly. And they had arranged with the governments to take anybody who was curious about their world, you know, to come on board this spaceship, and they would fly them to their world. And after, you know, being there like tourists, they would then fly them back home. So what happened was one of the scientists discovered that there was a book, To Serve Man. So he thought it was the aliens' agenda to help mankind. And as a result, the people could trust them and then get on the saucer and fly back to their world. But then it was discovered that To Serve Man was really a cookbook. And what the aliens wanted was to take back the succulent human beings to eat them. It was so funny at the end where the last of the tourists to go to their planet to board the plane to go to the saucer to go to the plane, Lurch, he's the guy that played Lurch in the Adams Family Adams Family.
Yeah.
He closes the door on the saucer, and the scientist warns, To Serve Man means it's a cookbook. Stop them.
They're having them for dinner, literally.
Yeah.
They have you for dinner.
Right.
Come on by.
They're going to taste so good.
Wow. Yeah. So think about that. This is some food for thought as far as the hoax. You know, none of us know for sure, but something to think about for sure.
They automatically come from outer space. It just means there's an unidentified flying object. They can't
and
be
identified.
You don't know.
You can't.
Yeah.
You can't connect it to anything. So you don't know where it's from. That's all it's pretty much saying. And everything else we have to figure out is going to require, you know, the proper research. And I guess we can't trust the government to be forthcoming with us, because whatever it is, you can rest assured the government knows way more than that little crap they gave us when they did that. Was that this year or last year? That might have been last year. I don't know if that was last year or this year, but they gave us a little briefing and a little couple pages of whatever. Just, we don't know. That's the conclusion. We don't know what it is, but
yeah, they
put out military pilots
on
national television to let y'all know that this weird spinning thing is indeed unidentified. So they're up to something as far as that. They did that for a reason. The reason why? They definitely did that for a reason. They didn't just do that for the hell of it. Just to say, oh, let's just be honest and forthcoming with our citizens now. Like, there's a reason. There's always an agenda. There's always an agenda.
Yep. That's a fact.
I always love when people talk about how they've been abducted, and they say, well, you've been abducted. I visited, I was in their ship, and I've talked to aliens and said, do you got any audio or video recordings? No. It's always funny how cameras never work, when they
mm-hmm.
talk to an alien. Never work.
Right. That's funny. It's true. They've got nothing to come back with other than just what they... Well, then they believe they actually were boarding that aircraft.
Yeah.
Who's to say what aircraft it was? There's all type of things that can manipulate the brain into thinking, whether it's chemical or physical or whatever, to make them think that they actually were aboard that ship of some sort. What it looked like, describe
yeah.
the details, to really convince them.
Y'all know what, though? This might sound a little crazy. I'm kind of thinking there might be some type of scrambling technology that whatever these things we're seeing is using to keep out. Because y'all ever notice the footage, whether it's a camera phone or an actual camera, best cameras that you can get on the market, it's never like a, you can see somebody record an airplane in the sky or something, helicopter, anything, birds, whatever, and it's clear. But when it comes to these things, it's always like you're looking, you're squinting your eyes, and you're like, hold up. I don't know what it is. It looks weird, but why is it not high def? Like, why is it not a clear picture? Like, it's never clear. Because y'all noticed that. And it makes me wonder if there's some type of, technology that's used to keep it intentionally where your cameras can't get a full high-def resolution of these crafts. You know what I mean?
That's a good question. Yeah, that's a good question. It's always hard to see.
I've not seen one high-def one yet. Not one. Even the ones from pilots, military pilots, everything. Always like fuzzy. I don't think it's too far fetched.
Exactly.
Something with that technology that can move like that and that can outmaneuver fighter pilots and make them look like kids playing with their toys. You know what I mean? Like, they just
mm-hmm.
make mockeries of these highly experienced fighter pilots. They make a mockery of them. Like, something that can move like that, I don't think it's too far-fetched. This is a lot that we don't know, that we don't understand, but it's the reason why we got to keep digging.
Yeah, what about drones? Do y'all ever think that, because remember, before we were able to get our hands on Joy, we already know the military and the government, they already been experimenting with it years before we even knew about drones. So, and then they also have drones that are like large drones.
They're using the drop bombs. They've been dropping bombs on Afghanistan with drones ever since 9/11 happened.
So imagine, do you think maybe we may have seen drones at one point, or someone has seen a drone, they thought it was a UFO? Because, they have drones, a lot of drones, drones are not manned, there's no one in a drone. It's controlled by a man on the ground or, wherever, so with control, with a remote control. So,
there's not a human being in these crafts. There's no way a human being can be in something moving that fast and then stop on a dime and then shoot another dive action. What that would do to your body? You would get crushed. So whatever it is in there, it ain't no human being in it. unless they got some technology that's so far advanced that we just can't even begin to understand it. But it's highly unlikely that it's not only a human, any type of humanoid, period, in these things. You know, because, you know, it's just heavy, man. I feel like we could, this is something I could talk about all night. Really.
Yeah, for sure. Yep.
Yeah.
And it's getting worse.
This is an intriguing discussion, but as we wind down on time, you know, Suzette, was there any last thing that you wanted to touch on as far as, like, everything that's going on, censorship, propaganda, anything else, anything that we were talking about you wanted to, you know, touch on before we go?
Yes, I do, actually. Thank you. If your viewer, your listeners get a chance to visit dangerousspeech.org, dangerousspeech.org. This is a dangerous speech project, and what they do is they study dangerous speech and ways to counteract it. Basically, they say people don't commit violence against other groups or even condone it spontaneously. First, they must be taught to see other people and pests as pests and vermin, aliens, or threats. Malicious leaders often use the same types of rhetoric to do this in myriad cultures, languages, and countries. So basically, the us against them tactic through speech. But we also know that speech is being sought or seen as violence these days. Now, another website to visit would be to see what these people are talking about, because it's important to know where you stand in social media. It's globaldisinformationindex.org. globaldisinformationindex.org. Actually, disinformationindex.org. But it's global.
Okay.
And what these people do is it's their mission. They took it upon themselves to catalyze change within the tech industry, to disrupt the incentives to create and disseminate disinformation online. I talked to Kay and Bobby about Christchurch Call and also GIFT, which is the Global Internet Forum Counterterrorism Group. And they, it says, we provide policy advice and guidance to key global efforts and institutions to combat disinformation, including the Church Christ Call, Global Internet Forum Counterterrorism, and this Global Alliance for Responsible Media. So Global Disinformation Index Corporation gives policy to these groups, these other groups and others around the world, and what to consider disinformation, you know, hate speech and so forth and so on. Not good, obviously. They are talking dangerous speech, which you will find on that dangerous speech project and what they think dangerous speech is. They consider the term hate speech, even though it's vague, that in practice everyone defines it differently. This confusion tends to lead to expansive understanding of hate speech. But see, the thing is there is no such thing as hate speech, at least in America. There is nothing in the books that says this is hate speech, whatever it is. You can't define it. And yet they're putting it out there and using it as hate speech is violence. And yes, it's broad, but that's because it's not a real thing. So they can put anything they want underneath it in order to qualify as hate speech or violent speech. And so that's important for people to know, because we see the whole censoring thing, and this will help them maybe navigate around that and still be able to get their message out. So, check those sites out, see what they're up to, what they require, what they think is this or that, and maybe we can work around it somehow. Somebody can come up with something and share that information. Don't keep it to yourself as though you're privileged and, oh, I got this and nobody else does. No, right now we need to share that information because we're on the same side. We're combating this together. It's together. Who would have ever thought? Unite, you know, but, I mean, share the information because we need to help each other out with this. And so I'll leave you with that.
Thank you so much.
Thank
that
you.
Was awesome. Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, for sure. And I don't know if y'all are aware, but it's interesting that just the other day on what's that show, 60 Minutes? They were talking about Facebook. Remember I texted you, Suzette, about the Facebook thing where they were talking about it on 60 Minutes? I texted you while I was watching it about, you know, they were talking about Facebook and it was an insider on Facebook, somebody that used to work for Facebook that was saying pretty much that, like, they are allowing hate speech and misinformation on their platforms. And, you know, the stuff, the misinformation, things, you know what's included in misinformation? Anything challenging the COVID vaccine is considered misinformation. Anything challenging 9/11 is considered hate speech. Why do I know this? I got flagged and my video removed for just speaking some thoughts. And I didn't go into heavy detail. It was just general, like, you know, we need the truth about 9/11, just that, boom, flag, video removed. Bobby talked about the, what was it, nanotechnology and stuff, COVID vaccine, boom, flag, video removed. So these are the things that, you know, anything that challenges, you know, the popular belief or the government or whatever, you know, the agenda and all of that stuff, you know, that stuff, it falls under that category. So it's interesting that that was just on Sunday that came out on 60 Minutes. And did y'all know that yesterday Facebook and Instagram wasn't working just that fast the next day? Y'all realize that Facebook and Instagram didn't work for 8 hours yesterday?
Yeah, I knew it was for a long time. I heard about it today. I didn't know when it happened, but I heard about it today. And that, I mean, she didn't reveal anything that what I would consider whistleblower, you know, status. Other than what you said as far as what they are combating as far as disinformation and what actually they think is disinformation is actually true stuff, you know, that's being shared. And so the only thing that they did was out themselves and confirm what other people believe to be that they were being shadow banned or banned or what do you call it, throttled or anything else. And so by her speaking out like that and telling specifically what their disinformation is, they just outed themselves, stupids. So I hope they lose a lot of people over that. Maybe it'll make
sense. I have no idea. Bobby, did you? Because I know, you know, Susan, I think you said you don't have Facebook no more. I know Joe don't, because we already had the discussion. Joe was, like, so low-key. He ain't with none of that. But, Bobby, you have a Facebook. Bobby, were you, did you check out, did you try to get on Facebook yesterday and notice that you couldn't log on?
I believe I did went on Facebook yesterday, but I didn't know anything about the shutdown. I know I was having issues. Like I noticed that, like, when I clicked on something, the page would turn white. Like, it was just a blank page. The blank page, I was wondering what was going on, you know, a couple of times, you know. So I had to, like, I just got out. I was like, oh, I'm going to just, you know, get out. And I'll check back later, that type thing. But I didn't know. I'm glad you said that, because now I see what happened yesterday. That's why I kind of really wasn't on that much yesterday because of that. I was wondering, first I thought it was something going on with my phone. You know, I actually powered my phone off just to, like, reboot it, you know.
Okay.
But I thought,
did they say what they thought the power glitch was or what the issue was with the being down? Did they have a press conference as far as?
I didn't dig to see why, but I just found it interesting that like the 24 hours after that, 60 Minutes interview, that this happened just like that. I don't know. And y'all know Facebook owns Instagram. So wasn't this Facebook, it was Instagram. I heard people saying it was social media. So I don't even know if it was other platforms. Now, I do have Twitter. I don't use it, but I have it. I went to go log on to Twitter, and Twitter was actually working. So it definitely wasn't all social media, but I don't even know if it was just Facebook and Instagram. I know Facebook and Instagram, I tried to go to Instagram, and that didn't work either. So Facebook and Instagram definitely was down. And they were, the whole light that they were shedding on that interview was definitely about Facebook being criticized from somebody that, a former employee, and she had printed, I think they said, what, over a thousand documents on oh man, see I gotta look it up because I don't want to, you know, speak in ignorance and say it wrong. definitely watch that 60-minute interview, you know, and then what I'm saying will make a lot more sense. Then, boom, the next day, shut down. And people, you know, some people, that's their livelihood. Like, that, they can't, you know, people are addicted. That's the reason why I'm about to, what is it called? Not when you delete it, when you, Bobby, what is it called? When you, I forgot what it's called, but basically you don't delete it permanently, but you, like, disable it. You basically, is another word for it, but you basically disable it. And I got to get away from it. I got to get off the grid. Sometimes it's good to just get off the grid, because all this stuff really does is brainwash us. But it definitely allows us to do, it's benefits from utilizing it, because we get to network with people, like-minded people and stuff, but at the same time, it can definitely brainwash you, and it can make you feel like a zombie or something. I'd be feeling like a zombie sometimes. And having that happen yesterday reminded me, like, man, I need to get away from this mess anyway. Because most of the people on here, they're not trying to have these discussions that we're having. They want to say, look at me. There's a woman want to say, look at me half naked. Or people posting fights, you know, and all this BS politics, Democrat this, Republican that, all this divisive stuff, all on social media. You want divisiveness? Go to social media. And I need to get away from it.
Yeah, it's good to take a break. You know, we're selective as far as the news. You know, I'll go through the CNN, the MSNBC, the CNBC, C-SPAN, Fox, One American News. I'll watch a piece of them all to see if there's anything that's clicking that they're all talking about or not talking about, and just kind of go from there for the day. As far as if I want to know more about it, then I'll take what that main story that seems to be rocking and see if there's anything to it. And usually there isn't. And so that's why I go delve to other countries to find out what they're talking about here in the U.S. That's sad.
I feel that.
So, yeah.
I got to get off the grid. I got to be like Suzette and Joe. You know, Joe was definitely off the grid. I can't even get Joe. Joe won't even give me his email address. That's how off the grid Joe is. I need to get off the grid, like, y'all, man, because I'm just sick of it. I'm meant to leave it there, because this is,
I used to engage in those Twitter wars with people.
This is a lot of stuff that goes on. I have literally damaged relationships just from social media. That's just put a lot. That's all I'm going to say. Relationships, I actually fell out with people. All because we're on social media. I was like, why am I on here? Like, I need it for my show to network and build and stuff, but do I really? I can just get on here and talk. I already met some people. We can, you know what I mean, find other ways to network. And y'all, you know, Joe was referring us to people and stuff. And, you know, as soon as I got her platform and stuff and the people that we do, because I got to get away. I just. That's a perfect way to pass propaganda and censorship is through the social media.
And it's a if you engage with somebody that thinks different than you, it's a, you know, as far as I might get lucky, I might not get lucky. As far as I'll have somebody just call me names and tell me to F off, you know, I'm a Trumpster type thing, and that's it, and they'll just keep tweeting that over and over and over. And or I'll get somebody that will actually engage in a conversation back and forth, and then we end up parting ways. And that's actually happened a few times. And same with Blog Talk Radio. There'll be shows that I'll go on with the opposite opinions, and sometimes, you know, I get shut out or yelled at or hung up on. But most of the time I have good conversations with these people, and, you know, they get point out some things to me, and I point out some things to them, and it ends up pretty good. But overall – It's hard. It's so hard on social media to get that interaction. And I'm like you, as far as I just get so tired. Last night I was reading something. I didn't even want to start and tell you what the title was, but I was telling I had to take some Pepto-Bismol. It just made me sick to my stomach as far as just the issue and what's happening with that. Yeah, seriously. And so I'll probably end up walking away again for about 2 weeks coming up here soon before I come back, because it gets to you.
It yeah, does. Yeah. Like this discussion we're having tonight, very intriguing conversation, but I can guarantee you, if I was to just post this and just send this to people that I know personally on Facebook, you know, or whatever, they're going to be like, oh, okay, y'all on that conspiracy theory stuff, okay. And once they call you a conspiracy theorist, that's it. You already know what they're thinking of you. That's why I don't use the term. Because you already
know. You
know
where that came from? You know where that originated at? Conspiracy theorist?
Where?
It originated with JFK when they did the Warren Report. Because there were so many issues, just like with the 9/11 report, things that were omitted, things that weren't investigated, and they knew it. But they did. But the only way that they could combat people who were asking questions and suggesting things because those questions weren't being answered, it was to label them conspiracy theorists in order to discredit them. And it even says so as far as the CIA talking to the president and as far as how do we combat this issue with people who are asking questions. And that was it. Let's call them conspiracy theorists. So, yeah,
remember that famous speech Bush said after 9/11? Mm-hmm. He said, let us not support, like, something wild conspiracy theories or something about let us not support something conspiracy theories about what really happened and all that. And that was a famous speech that uttered throughout media, the news and stuff. And I always think back to that when they hang that cloud over people who use their brains and think for themselves and not just follow the media and stuff. It always takes me back to that. Like, okay, yeah, so that's what that was about, trying to make it clear that people that think for – don't support anybody that thinks for themselves, that does their own personal investigations. You know, only believe what you see on TV. Only believe what you hear. If it doesn't come from – the media,
the mainstream media.
Mainstream media and stuff, yes. Then don't support it. It's right. these people are crazy.
That's what they want people to believe. And if that's the truth, that people are crazy and conspiracy theorists, how do you get somebody in California who may be a homeless person talking to themselves and they see you and they start talking to you saying, shh, don't say anything. They're watching me. It's the government. They're watching me. And then have somebody clear on the other side of the world, you know, as far as New York or anywhere on the East Coast, homeless person doing the same exact thing. Shh, the government. They told me not to say anything. They said, be quiet or we're going to be watching you and take you out. And you're going, what? Why do they have the same stories? They've never met each other. They're both homeless. I mean, it's not a disease, a mental disease that makes you say those things, I mean, that I'm aware of. Anyway, here's the mental disease of CIA paranoia, you know, or whatever, right? So something's got to be going on to where these people had something to do with the actual government and, you know, are scared and they're homeless and now become a mental case. But, yeah, that's just that just intrigues
me. Crazy. Yeah. 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 Look at the military. Look at the people who served in certain wars, and now they, a lot of these guys are out there on the streets, homeless, you know, begging.
Oh, I hate saying that.
How come these guys are not, like, supported or, you know, treated as a hero, as heroes, and, like, given, like, certain things, like, you know, given where they can, you know, have a place to live and just have fun, where they're not living, you know, like that on the streets and asking for money. And, you know, a lot of these guys, you know, lost limbs and body parts, you know. And
or their minds. Or their minds, you know. Yes.
Right. And now they're on the street. They serve their country, now the country is not serving them. You know, now the country has nothing to do with them. No.
Right. Kick to the curb.
Yes, that's a damn shame. Because that's all they talk about. That's all they do is use propaganda for all of that. Like, remember the Colin Kaepernick kneeling, all that stuff. Oh, this is all about the country and all. Oh, that's all right, right. Yeah. All right, yeah. So it's supposed to be about the veterans, right? We're supposed to respect and love the veterans. We appreciate them, right? Now, how come mm-hmm. they come home, and that's another thing we talk about in 60 Minutes. How come they come home and they don't have loan forgiveness? Like, they come home to outstanding, like, loans and stuff, right? School loans and mm-hmm. stuff. Y'all want them to pay their school loans and they put their lives on the line to fight for the country? They're coming home and they're like
that.
In bad financial mm-hmm. situations. Bad enough, a lot of them have lost limbs or have some type of health conditions, right? And then on top of that, they're coming home to poverty and they're not taken care of the way they should be taken care of. But that's all they push that agenda of like, oh, we love our veterans and make sure we have the Star Spangled Banner on every sporting event and stuff. But then when it comes down to it, why don't these people just come home wealthy and taken care of for the rest of their life? Like, every veteran should come home wealthy. At least if you served a certain amount of time, a few years or something, you should not have to worry about finances for the rest of your life. You should come home a very wealthy man or woman. Why do these people come home and got to get Walmart jobs?
There you go.
Why?
Because we're spending
go.
Money
so
overseas.
I love them so much.
We're too busy trying to feed and house other people in other countries. That's where the money,
That's why we got to continue to have these discussions. That got to be a whole discussion. We're going to have a discussion about the veterans and the way that America has betrayed our veterans. Has to be a discussion. Has to be.
And what,
because
mm-hmm.
it is absurd.
Guys,
it's absurd.
Yes. What do you guys think about this? What do you guys think about the United States bringing in all these people from Afghanistan who are supposedly, running from their country to get away from, these group of people that's taken over and everything. And you don't know who are. You just brought into our country. You don't know these people. What if they brought in, a lot of these people are playing? I mean, some people probably are trying to get away, but what if some of these people are these people that's part of like a certain, group of people that's wants to bring harm to the United States?
For what they did to their country over the last 20 years,
who are U.S. haters. So, you just brought all these people back.
They're infiltrators.
To America.
It could be
we
infiltrators.
We just created a terrorist cell.
Right.
Yep.
So,
yeah.
There you go. They could have brought the terrorist cells here. So, what do you guys think about
sure.
that?
Well,
that's crazy.
This is what we're going to do. I'm going to let Suzette briefly give some feedback on that, and then we got to close out because we're over the time limit, it can close out at any time. And I don't want to still be talking, and it closes out. So I'll let Suzette briefly respond to that, and then we'll close out.
I just think they basically, there may be one or two or a handful of people that are good, but the majority of them are going to be pissed off. I don't blame them. We brought them here from their homes, and we basically brought them, they don't want to be here. We created the situation, and so and then we bring them someplace they really don't want to be. So, yeah. No, they're going to be, and I don't blame them. They're going to be pissed off and creating problems with that. But real quick, with the countering the criticism from Warren Report, I found the document. It was actually a directive from the CIA Bureau countering criticism of the Warren Commission report, which was the JFK investigation. And they had specifically said in there that the concept was to discredit people and anything that had to do any groups, individuals calling the government's increasingly clandestine programs and activities into question. They said, conspiracy theorist. And I'll end on that.
there you have it. That's what I'm saying. There you have it, man. There you have it. That's why we in an ongoing battle. You know what I mean? We're going to utilize these platforms as long as these platforms will allow us, to keep putting the word out there and sharing information. And because we can't post this on YouTube. This what we're talking about now, this will definitely get flagged. Luckily, we got websites like this and others to be able to at least still use our freedom of speech and exercise that right of freedom of speech and speak our minds, regardless if you agree or disagree with us. So so much more to talk about, man. I could talk about this all night. I had a great time with y'all. We're going to close out so it won't cut us off while we're talking. Suzette, I want to thank you for inviting us on your show and coming on ours and, you know, getting into these discussions and sharing this much-needed information. And I hope, you know, we can, you know, wake some people up, or like you said, Suzette, have them open their eyes, you know what I mean, and just actually notice what's going on and think for themselves whether they agree or disagree. At least think for yourself. Use your own brain. Take the information and decide for yourself what you think. That's what this is all about.
Round of applause for Suzette. Yes.
Thank you. And I'm grateful that you guys have open minds. Thank you.
Oh, for sure, for sure. Let the people know one more time how they can your platform or any way somebody might be interested. They might want to, you know, I don't know, networking or something, how they could reach you or anything.
Basically, you can get a hold of me through Spreaker.com and then look up Suzette Live Talk. And you can find my channel there. On my channel, you can email me. It doesn't actually give you my email, but if you click the button, it will automatically fill it in so you can email me if you have any tips, information, comments, or anything else you would like to share. So I can get that information out there as well. Gentlemen, thank you very much for having me on your show and being on my show. It was an honor and a definite pleasure. I enjoyed it very much.
Thank you. Yes, likewise,
Suzette. So, with that said, man, it's
Chiril,
Bobby
and,
G.
Yes.
Joe and Suzette, what's your husband? What's your husband? Did he go by?
Robert?
Oh, he's Robert. Okay. Joe's calling him something else, but Robert, yeah. Shout out to the hubby, you know, for chiming in and hanging out with us, you know. And Suzette, Joe, Robert, you know, shout out to all of y'all. So with that said, man, T-Real, Bobby G, it's Real Talk Radio. We will see y'all next week. Peace.